or more precisely, Happy New Liturgical Year. Some of you, most of you know that this begins the church year, where we begin by waiting for the birth of Christ over the next four Sundays. And during this Advent season, we have some devotionals in the back for you to pick up if you would like to add some reading to your daily devotions. Also, we'll be lighting the Advent candles if you'd like to read. We have a couple open slots yet, and we will be lighting a candle each day. And there are Advent calendars for you to use at home for that as well. So, you know, the theme of the first Sunday of Advent is hope. And it's appropriate because I always think the first of the year is like that top of the roller coaster, when it's chugged up to the very top and you're at the very top of the roller coaster. The feeling you have at that moment, is it fear or is it excitement? Really, it's the same emotion. It's just whatever word you put to it, right? And I'm entering this new year with a great deal of excitement. I think this is going to wind up being the best year that we have ever had, and I look forward to that, and I have great hope for this coming year, and I hope you'll join with me in my hope for the year. So we're glad you're here. A couple announcements. You will see the insert for each of the readings. There is a congregational response. It's in bold, and I would encourage you to respond appropriately. And then also, immediately following the worship service today, we'll have our annual congregational meeting. It's never very long, but it's always informative and just a great time together. So I encourage all of you to stay. One change I'd like to draw your attention to is our Christmas potluck. And I think, like everything, this is a change that works out for the better. Our Christmas potluck will still be after the service on December the 17th, but it won't be in the fellowship hall here. It'll be at the Heritage Community Center at Windhurst, which we've met at before. It's the community building right past Neighbor's Restaurant on Paulette. You can gather starting at 12. We'll eat at 1, around 1. And what that allows you to do is to go home and change if you'd like, or pick up your food or whatnot, so you'll have a little bit of time, and then we'll meet there. Carolyn had the suggestion, and you can run with it if you'd like, that if you have a ugly sweater, Christmas sweater, you can wear your ugly sweater to the party, but don't wear it to church. It'd be too difficult for me to preach and see that ocean of that. So you can wear your ugly Christmas sweater if you would like. Any other announcements? Let's begin with joys and concerns. And I have a praise. It's we've been keeping her in prayer since her surgery, but it's good to see Carol and David Lindsay back with us today. And it's good to see Chris and Liz and Bodie all the way from Virginia Beach with us today. So thank you for being here. Any other praises or concerns? Yes, Carrie.
Laura White, Dr. White, that works with me at Brady and Chris, his wife had breast cancer surgery on Friday, and she came home yesterday and said she's doing really well. But to keep her in prayer, she's got to do aggressive chemo.
Lori White.
Laura.
Laura. All right. Thank you. Any others for prayer? Yes, go ahead.
Keep Carrie and Darwin in prayer. She's got to take Darwin to Charlottesville tomorrow. She's going to get two different hospitals, and I'm not really sure what.
It's for a lab work and anesthesiologist. Be safe as you drive. We'll be keeping both Darby and Carrie in prayer as they go to UVA for tests for Darby. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord. Our gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you as we begin this new liturgical year. As we begin again, taking the trek from the most important event the event around which we arrange all calendars is this calendar. As we look forward to the birth of your Son, our Savior, and as we journey along with him to the time in which all things are consummated, calling you and declaring you Christ the King. So we're looking forward like children on tippy toes looking outside their playpen, just excitedly awaiting what this new year will hold. That hope is based on your faithfulness. Our hope is because you have never failed us. Our hope is because your word tells us that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And we pray your word back to you, and it is our joy and our hope. We thank you for the worship service today. We pray that your name would be glorified. We pray that you would be with those that have been mentioned. We thank you for Carol's improvement. We just pray that you'll continue to strengthen her. We thank you that Chris and Bodie and Liz could be with us today. Be with those that are traveling and not able to be with us. Give them safety. We pray that you'd be with Darby and Carrie tomorrow as they travel to UVA. Give them safety on the roads. May the tests go well. We pray that you'd be with Laura White as she will be beginning aggressive chemo treatments. Strengthen and bless her and her family and friends. We also ask your special blessing upon the name or the circumstance that comes to mind at this time. We cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. In your holy name, amen. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercies, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
You'll look with me to the insert before we light the first Advent candle. Let us call each to worship using the first seven verses of Psalm 80 in by whole verse. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim.
In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come to help us.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angered despite the prayers of your people?
You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them the bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
And today exile and uncertainty, the prophet Isaiah cried out, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you."
In the midst of our encounters with uncertainty and upheaval and our longing for deliverance, Jesus calls to us, "Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come."
We wait as people surprise again and again by God, who shakes us out of our complacency and wakes us up to the work of the kingdom all around us.
We light this candle as a sign of our shocking hope. May we stay awake to God's activity in the world as we wait in expectation that even now God is with us, working to restore us to the fullness of life with God and one another. Amen.
first reading is Isaiah 64:1-9. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, nor the eye has seen the God beside you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully acts, who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in the ways. Behold, you were angry, and we sinned, and in our sins we have been a long time. And shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us, and have made us melt in the hands of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please, Lord, we are all your people.
Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is 1 Corinthians 1, 3 through 9. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. He leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. For all of you astute observers, you'll notice that it was not Dave Gardner who read the text this morning. Dave texted me this morning and was under the weather. Let's pray that he'll feel better. And my dear wife said that she would be willing to do it. So thank you for your grace and peace be unto you by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hate weasel words. Do you know what weasel words are? Weasel words are words that don't really communicate anything. Probably my second worst weasel word is try. What does that even mean? I mean, either you do it or you don't do it. I mean, I don't know what try means, or maybe, or almost. But the one I dislike the most, but I use it often, is near. Near. It comes from the 13th century, at hand. And what it means is it's those things that you don't have possession of, but they're mighty close. I used to use it when we would travel and my children were young, and they would do that irritating thing that children do, and I've even known some adults to do it, and ask over and over and over,
are we there yet?
And I'd always say the same thing, which was no answer at all. I'd say, we're nearer now than we've ever been. We're nearer now than we would ever be. And all of Advent is about a revealing and a waiting. It's appropriate that we begin with hope, because that which you have, you don't need to hope. If you have it, there is no need for hope. Hope is always for that which is near, close enough to be realistic, but still not your possession. You know, for me to say I hope that I could be an NBA center, that's not a hope, that's a delusion. I mean, that is so far removed, I couldn't do it. But what makes hope so painful is it's close enough. It's at hand, but it's not ours yet. And that's what these texts are about. That's what our lives are about. And that's what Advent is about. When we think of the coming of the Lord, Luther said that there were three times that Christ comes. He comes at Bethlehem in the Incarnation, which we'll celebrate on Christmas. He comes at the consummation, that end of time, that second coming where all things will be ended. But he also comes many times, Luther said, at the point of your deepest crisis. The Incarnation, from our perspective, is done. That's an accomplished event. The second coming is out of your hands and out of your knowledge. The Son said, not even I have knowledge of when that will be. But the one that we deal with, the one we struggle with, the one we hope for, is Christ coming into that particular point of need or crisis that we have. He's promised to come. He's promised never to leave nor forsake us. He's promised to be there for us, and he will, but not yet. He's always just near. He's always near. Most of us would say, God's never soon enough. For those things we want fixed in our lives, for those situations where we want to see greater light, a solution, we hope and we look, but it always seems to be longer than we want it to be. And we struggle with waiting. We're in good company if you do. I went through the scripture this past week, and there are nearly 40 different significant people where there was a promise that God made and a long time to wait for it to come. Abraham and Sarah. Let me just mention eight of them. Abraham and Sarah waited a couple decades for Isaac to be born. Joseph waited many decades and through many trials for his dreams to be fulfilled. Moses waited 40 years to get the opportunity to lead the children out of Egypt. Hannah waited for Samuel. And David waited 13 years to be king after he was anointed king. Job waited several years for restoration of his health and his fortune. Anna waited, she said in Luke 2, for many, many decades for the birth of Christ. The apostles were told to wait for the Spirit. So you're in good company if you are waiting. But our texts speak of that, and it speaks of it in two different ways, and I'd like to give some instruction to that. A part of why we wait, and I'll be honest, anyone here like to wait? Don't show me your hands, but aren't we in the same boat that each one of us have something where we want, like Isaiah, as Sherry read in the very first verse of Isaiah, Lord, break through the heavens and do something big. I bet each one of us, they're different things, but each one of us have some point of crisis or need where we want God to break through and do something big. And each one of us are in the same boat that we're having to do what? Wait. He's near, but we have to wait. Now, waiting is good. I was reading a wonderful book. I would highly recommend it. I read strange things, I guess. He's a professor at Pennsylvania. His name is Jason Farman. F-A-R-M-A-N. And the book is entitled Delayed Response, The Art of Waiting from the Ancient to the Instant World. And what he shows is our soul and our community has been drastically hindered because we no longer have to wait like we used to. And it's created that we want everything to be instantaneous. Our computers must work quickly or efficiently, or we're going to cuss them or hit them without realizing that it's a whole lot quicker, no matter how slow your computer is, than what you used to have to do as you drove or walked to the library and looked through the stacks to get the information. Our microwaves don't work quick enough. People don't drive fast enough. The revolving doors don't swing around quick enough. And it eats us up. And it sets our expectation and entitlement that we shouldn't wait. And it hurts our souls and it hurts our community. Like that great theological band, the Confederate Railroad, sang, made a wish upon a star that he could get a brand new car. He got tired of waiting, so he stole one. And that's what our society's doing. Because we can't wait, it hurts our soul. Listen to what Farman says. I'll just read a short quote. Waiting shapes our social lives in many ways. And waiting is something that can benefit us. Waiting can be fruitful. If we lose it, we will lose the ways that waiting shapes vital elements of our lives, like social intimacy, the production of knowledge, and the creative practices that depend on the gaps formed by waiting. Waiting should be seen as not an enemy, but a friend, and embraced for the good of our soul. The last two texts today basically show two different aspects, and if you'll look with me on your insert or in your scripture. 1 Corinthians 1 tells us God's role in waiting, and the gospel passage speaks of our role in waiting. There are two things we see in 1 Corinthians 1 where God's work enables us to wait with hope and peace. The first thing we see in verse 6, he will confirm you. In other words, he'll make you his. He'll make you well. He confirms you in his grace and love. But verse 8 says the other aspect of his love and care is he sustains you. He not only makes you his, he keeps you his. He not only makes you well, he keeps you well. What you're going through right now, no matter how traumatic it is, and I'm not going to downplay the real trauma and hurt that we walk through. I'm not going to downplay it, but I'm going to tell you this. There's a name above all names. And there's a name that's stronger than cancer. And there's a name that's stronger than domestic conflict. There's a name that's stronger than unemployment. There's a name that's stronger than societal ills. And that name is the one that we're hoping for. That's the name of Jesus Christ. And we see it in this passage. In Christ, in some way or another, is mentioned 7 times in these 7 verses. So in Christ, we can wait because we know God confirms us and he sustains us. You're not going anywhere. He has begun a good work in you. And he will, through whatever fire, walk you safely home. You're not going anywhere. But we have a side. Because all that is true, but we can be true and we can still be anxious, right? You can be on an absolutely safe airplane and still be anxious. You remember that time I told you before I was in a very small airplane where the type you can see the pilot through the curtain. And I don't like to fly much anyway. But it was really turbulent. And I was worried. And I guess out of my fear and worry, I was asking, like my kids did me, I was asking the pilot too many questions. And he knew I was anxious. And he finally turned around and he said, "Buddy, you can worry all you want to, but I'm going to land this plane safely." And that's what God is telling us through his word and through each other. Buddy, sister, you can worry all you want to, but I'm going to land this plane safely. So the passage in the Gospels speak of how we can have peace as God is landing our plane safely. And it's all wrapped up in that last word in verse 37. If you'll look with me there. In the English, it's 2 words. And the word is stay awake. But the Greek word is gregoreo. Gregoreo is the word that we get a beautiful American name from, Gregory. And it means to stay awake, to stay awake. And I think there are 2 aspects of staying awake that Jesus talks about here. The first, and quite simply, we're to listen and look for him. We're to listen and look for Christ alone. We especially do that in word and sacrament. But because we know God is everywhere, is omniscient and omnipresent, and because psalmists and others say in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the presence of the Lord, their maker's praise, we can see God everywhere if we learn looking for him. You remember the cosmonaut that famously came back and declared to all the world that he had gone into outer space, and guess what he didn't find? He didn't find God. The truth of the matter is, he wasn't looking for God. We find what we're looking for. There's a wonderful story that you may have heard about the Indian Native American that went to his friend to New York City. And there, down at Times Square, the streets were busy, people were everywhere, cars were honking, things were going. And suddenly the Native American said, "I hear a cricket." And his New York friend said, "What do you mean you hear a cricket? Are you crazy?" He said, "No, I hear a cricket." And he follows what he's hearing, and they go to a side alley. They go behind a trash can. There's a plant growing out of the piece of concrete, and lo and behold, there's a cricket. And the Indian said, I told you there was a cricket there. He said, my goodness, you must have supernatural hearing or something. He said, no, my hearing's just like yours. I hear what I want to hear. And he said, let me demonstrate it. So the old Indian took, reached in his pocket, and he took a handful of coins. And he threw those coins on the city sidewalk. And people for about 20 feet around turned and looked. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you, not to take you out of the fire, but to give you the ability to remove the scales of your eyes that you can see and listen to and hear the presence of Christ in the midst of the fire. We listen for Him. And then the second thing, we live for Him. We listen for Him, we look for Him, and we live for Him. David was a man after God's own heart. I'm speaking of loyalty here. A month ago today, we had All Saints Day, and I talked about the value of saints and encouraged you to think of people that were godly and holy and had meant something to you. You know, who I think has the greatest Christian spirit of anyone I've ever known. And I live with him. His name is Tucker. My dog. And you who have had dogs, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Some wag said, there's some wisdom here. It's interesting, the dog is God spelled backwards. And we know the loyalty, undeserved and unconditioned, that a dog gives to his master. Would if I would be as loyal and faithful and loving and living for God as Tucker is for his masters. And you know, those days you spend all day with your dog, they're going to love on you that evening, right? And those days that you've been busy and your dog's been in the crate more than they need to be, guess what they're going to still do that evening? Love on you. Let me give you one that's even better than Tucker. You've probably seen the movie. I think it was Richard Gere, 10, 12 years ago, named Hatchie. It was based on it was Akita dog, but it was based on an actual story that happened in Japan. This Akita dog, Hachi, lived from November the 10th, 1923 to March the 8th, 1935. So a 12-year period. And he would follow his master to the train station every day and wait at the train station for the master return, and then they would walk home. One day the master at work had a massive heart attack and died, and Hatchie kept waiting until the master's daughter came, brought Hatchie home. Well, the next day Hatchie did what loyalty does. Got up, went to the train station, and waited for his master. Without complaint, without fear, with total hope. Over time, the vendors around the train station began to recognize this dog, and they'd feed him and play with him. But what's amazing to me about this story is, do you know how long, with no return on his hope, this loyal dog did this? 9 years, 9 months, and 15 days. I don't know how long you or I have been waiting on the Lord thinking that he's not faithful to us, he's not responding to whatever we're asking. But if this dog can wait 9 years, 9 months, and 15 days on a human being, how much more can we wait on an eternal Father who's absolutely faithful and has promised never to fail us? Let us stay awake and enjoy the wait. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand, confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor tongue told of a glory like yours, Lord God. For you are the potter and we the clay, and you fashioned us in your image. Though the pot was broken in your hands, in the exile of your people and the rejection of your Son, you made an even more wondrous vessel out of agony and estrangement. In Jesus, you glorified your chosen people and inaugurate your church to be his body in the world. In his death, the pot was broken once and for all. But in his resurrection, you refashioned a new pot from the same clay to feed your people forever. And so we gladly thank you, joining with the company of angels and archangels and all the host of heaven in their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Ever-present God, your prophets long that you would tear the heavens and come down. And in your Son, Jesus Christ, you have done just that. Through Christ, you have filled the earth with the splendor of your dwelling among us. In him, you are present to friend and stranger, the intrigued and the suspicious, the betrayer and the bereft. Come down now in the power of your Holy Spirit upon this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, blessed, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Word of life, though heaven and earth will pass away, your words will never pass away. As you feed us with this living bread, strengthen those who wonder if they can survive this day. Restore any who are downtrodden and heavy laden. Visit all who are forsaken and alone. Open the window of your heaven, that your church may glimpse the glory of the hope of your glory, and your world may be transfigured by the light of your truth. Until that day when heaven finally comes to earth, When your Son returns on the clouds and your Spirit infuses your creation with resurrecting grace, and you are all in all one God now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you don't know of, and sometimes the women in the Bible get short shifted, shrift as far as us preachers go. This afternoon, look up the example of Anna. She had waited almost 90 years longing for the birth of Jesus Christ. We come, and daily, because of His resurrection power and His Spirit's presence in you, what Anna waited for 90 years, we have access with daily. We have His presence, and it is our strength. It is our comfort. The truth of the matter is, as Jesus told us, that even if we worry, we're not going to add a statue or a cubic to our statue. As much as I thought it had through the years, I would attest to you that none of my anxiety has ever hastened anything along. In fact, it often makes it worse. But I can attest to this, that in the midst of our waiting, the God who loves you more than life has prepared a table in the midst of those enemies, so that you don't wait and feast at the end, that you feast in the middle of whatever you're going through, confessing that He is working all things to the glory of His goodness and His love for you. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive His very body and His very blood. This is His table. So all those He loved are welcomed here, which means all of you who would come. Come and receive. There'll be people here to pray with you if you'd like prayer. And just leave whatever is haunting you in the hands of one who works all things much better than we. The body of Christ is broken for you.
In the fullness of time, Christ came born of a virgin. In the proper time, Christ will come again to consummate the new heavens and the earth. And in the living of these days, Christ comes at the most wise and perfect time. May we trust you and praise your wisdom and your compassion that strengthens us and perfects us through waiting. And we thank you. In your holy name, amen. Amen. Let us close our worship singing the final hymn of the morning. Upon you and give you peace and hope now and forever. Amen. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace and love to serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.